My dear friends, since we last met together, you can see the continuation of the great uncovering, the great unveiling, the great unmasking of evil throughout the world as darkness desperately seeks to maintain its stranglehold and power over the Father's children. There is a great awakening that is taking place, unlike anything that has taken place in the history of this world. The favorites of heaven are enlisted and engaged, and the battle continues until the final confrontation will take place, and light will triumph over darkness. Good will vanquish evil. And the king will come and reign among his people, Israel. Before that time, however, there remains significant battles to be fought, which will require the warriors of Christ to be steadfast and immovable, unshakable in their faith, and determined to sacrifice all they have for the cause of Christ. Consider the words of Mormon to his son Moroni. And now, my beloved son, notwithstanding their hardness, let us labor diligently. For if we should cease to labor, we should be brought under condemnation. For we have a labor to perform whilst in this tabernacle of clay, that we may conquer the enemy of all righteousness and rest our souls in the kingdom of God. And this, wherefore I would speak unto you that are of the church, that are the peaceable followers of Christ, and that have obtained a sufficient hope by which ye can enter into the rest of the Lord from this time henceforth, until ye shall rest with him in heaven. The message is clear. In the midst of the greatest battles that can be fought in the celestial world, we can enter into his rest here and now and find that peace which surpasseth all understanding, endowed upon us by the Prince of Peace. If you find yourself in turmoil, if you are upset because political things don't seem to be going the way you think they should, if you are losing faith and feeling the spirit of defeatism, if you find yourself faint in the battle and your courage is waning, it is because you do not have on the whole armor of God, and Christ, our captain, cannot be found at your side. This is your choice, and you are responsible for where you find yourself. It is easy to rely upon the arm of flesh and become distracted by the cacophony of frantic, hectic voices which lack truth and light. Remember, my friends, that by the power of the Holy Ghost you may know the truth of all things, not some things, but all things. That promise does not extend to you from political punditry, endless talking heads, distracting theories from one end of the earth to the other, to where for them it becomes a mass of confusion. When the Supreme Court issued its statement day before yesterday, what was your reaction? You can tell by your reaction to their decision how well you are fitted for the coming conflict. Make your necessary course corrections now. Take a deep breath, settle yourself, and as directed by the Holy Ghost, get back in the battle. Remember, it is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms and great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. As Margie and I were contemplating the Supreme Court decision to throw out the pleadings of the state of Texas against the four states who had violated constitutional principles, the Holy Ghost whispered the following, quote, "It has always been about the children," unquote. And in one blinding hot white ray of celestial light, the Lord gave me the central thread to understand further what is unfolding at this time of great prophetic fulfillment. Child sacrifice, from the very beginning of this world, has been a practice used by evil as an initiation rite into their dark practices, believing that the blood and sacrifice of children imbues them with power, with fertility, and with everlasting life. The innocence of a child has always been a dark draw to abusers, rapists, and murderers, and a part of ancient and modern cults of worship which thrive on the blood of the innocents, those among us who are most vulnerable and helpless. The decision of the Supreme Court, being directed by the Holy Ghost and angelic ministrations, has to do with the overturn of the 1973 Supreme Court case Roe versus Wade, which issued a 7-2 decision ruling that the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution provides a, quote, right to privacy, unquote, that protects a pregnant woman's right to choose whether or not to have an abortion. From that date to this, 60 million children have been slain as a result of this Supreme Court decision, and the blood of those innocents cry up from the ground to their Creator for justice. The Stop the Steal movement that we see flourishing within the United States among patriots at this moment is a plan to stop the stealing of a legitimate election for the President of the United States. But more than that, it is also a plan to stop the stealing of our children. It is now becoming evident that there has not been a legitimate election in this country, and that the administration of the Bush family, the Clinton family, and the Obama family have not been elections, but have been selections, carefully designed to make it appear that we, the people, have made the choice through legitimate election processes, but we can now see that it has all been a massive lie and deception. There is a direct correlation with the prostitution of the ballot process, the stealing of our vote, and the stealing of our children. A corrupt ballot process have allowed those in power to enact laws and pass legislation which exacerbate the stealing, torture, and murder of our precious children. if they can control the ballot, they can more readily steal our children. This is why, before we can save our children, we must first of all restore the sacred right to choose our leadership in a representative form of government to protect the rights of the unborn and the innocent among us. Don't be upset about what took place 2 days ago in the Supreme Court. The movement is underway, according to a divine plan, to reverse the 47-year decision that has killed 60 million children in this country and placed a stain upon us that even after Roe versus Wade is overturned, which will eventually terminate in the death and misery of many souls. Doctrine and Covenants, section 87, verse 1. When Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and after the Egyptian generations had died off after 40 years of exile in the Sinai Negev wilderness, as the new generation prepared to enter their promised land, Moses gave them some very strict counsel. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21, "Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." Aside from sexual immoral sins listed in this chapter, the sacrifice of the Israelite parents burning their children to the Canaanite god Molech was listed as an abominable practice which defiled the name of God. Verse 24, "Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you." 25, "And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants." And what I want to emphasize in these scriptures is that we are at the same place in 2020 where the ancient Canaanites were with their abominable practices. We have defiled ourselves with these things. Our land is defiled. And because of that defilement, the Lord has promised that the land will vomit out her inhabitants. Verse 26, "Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you." 27, "For all these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you, and the land is defiled." We are the generation now standing as warriors of light and truth, patriots for the cause of freedom, standing to defend the sacred documents of liberty, willing to sacrifice our lives and our sacred honors in lifting the curse that has been placed upon our nation by those men who went before us. Verse 28, "That the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you." 29, "For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among the people." 30, "Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God." 80 to 100 million American men and women stand today in the breach and have the privilege and opportunity to lift the curse from off our land, and through our individual spirit-directed choices and decisions, transfer that defilement and that curse from us upon the heads of those who love darkness more than light. We stand before God in this day, remembering that it was always about the children, and shake our garments, ridding ourselves from the blood and sins of the generations that have gone before us and the one in which we currently live. The history of Israel is broken into two phases, the scattering and the gathering. The scattering of Israel was Aaronic in nature. Joseph Smith taught that within the Aaronic law is the power to destroy. Destruction means simply that, taking a structure and breaking it up. Destruction is to destructure. The structure of the house of Israel in the golden era of David was broken up in the reign of his son Solomon. Do you know what it was that caused the scattering and destruction of the house of Israel in the day of Solomon? It was the murder of their children to the ancient Canaanite gods that Solomon embraced because of the influence of his unlawful wives. These abominable sacrifices were practiced in the Valley of Hinnom, southwest of the ancient city of David, where Solomon's temple stood. Israel was scattered because it killed its children. Within the Aaronic law, there is generally an absence of the gifts of the Spirit, as within the law, the ministry of angels and the gospel of repentance and of baptism by immersion for the remission of sins, but never could bring in and of itself a man or a woman into the rest of the Lord and to enjoy the everlasting priesthood and the gift and companionship of the Holy Ghost. The Aaronic law, even though it was designed to be a schoolmaster, was a curse for the people and withheld from them prophets, seers, and revelators, and there was no Urim or Thummim among them. Moses tried and failed to bring them to the everlasting Melchizedek holy order of the priesthood, to restore the Lord's people Israel to the order of things enjoyed by the patriarchs from Adam up to Moses, but they totally rejected the invitation and the covenant, and the Lord took Moses and the holy priesthood out of their midst and left them with a lesser preparatory schoolmaster law, which could not keep them from the sacrifice of their children to the neighboring nations' false gods. So from Moses to Jesus Christ, with the exception of two mighty kings, Hezekiah and Josiah, their history was one of debauchery, sexual deviancy, and the murder of their children. Can we connect the dots with our ancient fathers and see corresponding evidence in our own day right now in 2020? The Lord is placing us in a position where we can be enlisted in the cause not just for freedom, constitutional values, and the cause of liberty, but to save our children now and in the future and lift the curse that defiles our land because of those who have gone before us and threatens to vomit out her inhabitants. There is civil war coming. Recall that the presidential election of 1860, in which Abraham Lincoln was inaugurated on January 20th, not only did not end the political jousting and electoral contest, it precipitated the initiation of a four-year-long civil war, which began in April of 1861 and ended in April of 1865 with total deaths well exceeding 600,000 lives and costing immense loss of civilian life and monetary damage. Recall, too, which political party championed insurrection, secession, and slavery, and which party championed maintenance of the Union and freedom for all. Countries, regrettably, do not necessarily have just one civil war. And God has also warned that in judgment for sin, that he can and does, and more than in just a few instances, quote, create calamity, unquote. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7. Indeed, due to Solomon's idolatry, heathenism, and paganism, God's judgment on those sins precipitated a civil war that would be sporadic but protracted, 200 years long, from 930 BC to 732 BC, between, in Israel's case, a secessionist northern Israel of 10 tribes under Jeroboam and the pro-Union southern Judah of the two tribes under Solomon's son Rehoboam. I would invite you again to read section 87 in the Doctrine and Covenants. Pay specific attention to verse 6 as a verse which lies in our immediate future. And thus with the sword and by bloodshed the inhabitants of the earth shall mourn, and with famine and plague and earthquake, and the thunder of heaven and the fierce and vivid lightnings also, shall the inhabitants of the earth be made to feel the wrath and indignation and chastening hand of an almighty God, right here, until the consumption decreed hath made a full end of all nations. Verse 7. For what purpose? That the cry of the saints and the blood of the saints, and I would put in there the blood and cry of children, shall cease to come up into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth from the earth to be avenged of their enemies. 8. Wherefore, stand ye in holy places, and be not moved until the day of the Lord come, for behold, it cometh quickly, saith the Lord. Amen. Section 86 is yet to be fulfilled in our day. There is already talk of blue states seceding from the red states. The Biden administration, so-called president-elect, knows that they cannot win this presidential election. Vice President-elect Kamala Harris has not resigned her seat from the Senate. This is very telling. Biden is diminishing in his mental and physical capacity daily. The election will be recovered, and Trump will be inaugurated on January 20th. All of the so-called setbacks are a part of the plan to further expose the darkness and drag it into the light. Remember that this exposure reaches its zenith at Passover 2021. We are learning that you cannot rely on any governmental agency or bureaucracy for justice and equity. All is too far and too deeply compromised. Foreign governments blackmail our elected officials. Those that we have trusted have much to hide and will do anything and everything to keep their works in the dark. As each day unfolds, we can discern with greater and greater clarity who's on the Lord's side and who loves darkness more than light. All traitors are cowards. There is no courage, no loyalty, no sacrifice in the cause of darkness. It's all about self, and it's all unwinding right now before our eyes. Praise the Lord for living in a day when we can see His mighty hand as He labors personally with His servants in the vineyard for this last time. Be prepared to see sedition and treachery further exposed not only in the world, but unfortunately also within the church. The trafficking and abuse of children is also found within the membership of the Church of Jesus Christ. This is why the Lord will cause a great cleansing, as mentioned in section 112 in the Doctrine and Covenants, beginning in verse 23. Verily, verily, I say unto you, darkness covereth the earth, and gross darkness the minds of the people. Watch this. And all flesh has become corrupt before my face. 24. Behold, vengeance cometh speedily upon the inhabitants of the earth. A day of wrath, a day of burning, a day of desolation, of weeping, of mourning, and of lamentation. And as a whirlwind it shall come upon all the face of the earth, saith the Lord. 25. And upon my house shall it begin, and from my house shall it go forth, saith the Lord. 26. First among those among you, saith the Lord, who have professed to know my name, and have not known me, and have blasphemed against me in the midst of my house, saith the Lord. We are naive if we feel that treachery is not found within the Lord's church. He knows it's there and will take care of it in His own way, in His own time, and according to His own will. Put not your trust in man, nor in flesh, but trust in the Lord, and He will take us by the hand and guide us along. The United States military will be the great protectors of liberty-loving patriots in the coming day. The military is the only way that justice can be meted out, the Union preserved from secessionist treachery and civil war and rebellion quickly and promptly put down. We have the pattern before us in the Book of Mormon. When Zarahemla was lost to the Kingmen, the Democrat National Party of their day, along with their contemporary traitor rhinos, which means Republican in name only, the legitimate head of elected government was forced into exile, and it was the Nephite military under Captain Moroni who joined with the legally elected leader of the people and returned to Zarahemla and under force of arms recaptured the capital city, reinstated the legitimate elected officials, held military tribunals, not civil law, and those who were not willing to enter into a covenant of peace to support the title of liberty were summarily and publicly executed. President Trump is the commander-in-chief of all United States military forces and personnel. There has never been in the history of our country since George Washington a commander-in-chief who was so beloved by his military, and no warriors more loyal to their leader than to our current President of the United States. We are seeing history repeat itself one more time. But remember, my friends, it has always been about the children. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. And at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. verse 3, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 5, And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. And then this warning in verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, and the word offend in Greek means to cause to stumble, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Praise be to the Mother and Father in heaven, and to the Lord Jesus Christ, for the gift of the Holy Ghost in the celestial world, which teaches us the truth of all things. May we be courageous and stand fast in the cause of the Master Jesus Christ. May his peace descend and rest upon us. May that peace be our peace, so that we be not troubled, neither be afraid. Praise their holy names in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Master. Amen.